item of business is number four, which is the Montague Irrigation District operation of Dwinell Reservoir. There is a petition submitted by Felice Pace requesting the Regional Water Quality Control Board to order a report of waste discharge or to require waste discharge requirements. We'll call first on Catherine Coleman and Samantha Olson and then other parties. I believe this is not a public hearing, so there's no need to swear testimony. And I want to go a little bit procedurally where I believe we are. We had a petition. The board took testimony at the last meeting. And what staff has done is write up the board decision. And our job today is to ensure that it's based upon the facts that were in the record at that time and is consistent with the decision we made. We're really not at liberty to open up entirely new areas that were not previously covered in our decision. And with that, I'll call on Catherine Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for covering the history of why we're here this morning. The petition requested that the board require a report of waste discharge be prepared by the Montague Irrigation District for their discharge at Dwinell Dam, and then also requested that the regional board investigate whether toxic sediments from the Roseburg-Baxter Superfund site have reached Shastina and if they are causing a problem. A resolution has been prepared. It was circulated to the parties and to the public. We have a redraft for your consideration based on conversations that we've had with some of the parties, and that's what you have in front of you with sort of the red streaky line on it. And there's some in the back of the room as well. And it shows in, well, it's blue line strikeout what is different from the draft. The resolution would deny the petition. And the analysis for that decision, I kind of break apart in two parts. First, that there's a set of pollutants that are covered by the TMDL that this board adopted for Shasta. And then there's a set of pollutants that are covered in the petition that are not part of the TMDL, and so we need to deal with those separately. So with regard to those pollutants that are part of the TMDL, the recommendation is that we stay the course with the TMDL action plan that the board has adopted. With regard then to blue-green algae and pH, the recommendation to the board is that this summer our staff will go out in cooperation with Montague and upstream dischargers and collect samples, look for visible scums, if they're present or not, make those observations. That's the first line of defense. We will also take some samples this year and test them to see whether or not there, you know, if there's cell count densities that we should be concerned about. In the meantime, we will be working with Montague and upstream dischargers to put together a more robust study plan to see whether or not, sort of answer the question in a scientific manner, is there a problem or not. And Montague has agreed to work with us on that. For the other pollutants that aren't covered, then, and aren't really Montague, we turn to the Roseburg-Baxter site. We have issued a 13267, an order to the responsible parties at that site to provide us information regarding what has been discharged and to do some studies looking at fish tissue to see whether or not, as a screening level, again, to see if there is a problem or not. Wanted to then turn to another issue that has come up in the context of this that is not addressed in the resolution, which is mercury. DWR is in the process of finishing a report that has languished in their office for a while on a number of reservoirs in the state, and they collected fish tissue samples from around these reservoirs and were sampling for mercury. They are going to share the data with us in raw form. The report won't be out for probably another couple months. It does show elevated levels in fish tissue according to DWR, we've not seen it, does show elevated levels of mercury in fish tissue in Shastina. What we propose is get that data. It's just a couple of samples at this point. And we will use that, and we'll put that into our 303D listing process to basically kick it into, does the information rise to the level that it warrants further monitoring? We'll also turn the information over and make sure it gets over to the people who do fish advisories, which is the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, and for them to make a decision on whether or not there should be, what they do is they, as I think this board has seen it in front of, for Trinity, when they put up a, it goes on your fishing license, it's a health advisory and a posting for mercury that they did on Trinity, and whether or not there's enough data here to do that, or a need to do it for Shastina. So the recommendation on, which isn't part of the resolution, but has come up in the same context, is to take that data, which is now available, and put it into the processes that we would normally use to analyze any other findings where we find high levels of mercury. And I think that is it. Samantha, do you want to add for talking about the?
Well, just a couple quick items. I just want to make clear that the resolution makes it an explicit finding that there is no evidence at this time that there are any water quality violations in Lake Shastina. And also just to clarify that although you took testimony at the first board meeting on this petition, it's not an action under the Administrative Procedures Act. It's not an adjudicatory proceeding in that respect, and there's an explicit finding in the resolution that states that the resolution is informational only and does not result in an action taken toward any party. Obviously, the board is making a decision on what to do with the petition, but it's not a proceeding under the APA.
Samantha, you need to identify yourself for the record.
And my name is Samantha Olson. I'm your staff counsel.
And I had a question. There's a provision to the Port of Cologne Act on petitions and requests for action that if you don't take action within 60 days, that it is appealable. To me, this is enough of a denial that it could be appealed to the State Water Resource Control Board. Are you disagreeing with that?
No, I'm not.
And board member questions?
Just first on the TMDL process. During the development of the Shasta TMDL, and I would imagine with any of the TMDLs, when we're identifying impairments, what is the process to identify them? And just quickly, what I was curious about is there not a contingency for algae? Or I know that there is for pH, but why during the TMDL were these not identified? And also on the toxins that are allegedly coming out of the Roseburg plant, should those have been listed in the TMDL?
I'm wondering if Matt St. John is here or David Leland.
Behind you.
He's coming.
Thank you. Matt worked on the TMDL along with David Leland, and they can give you the hands-on answer.
Thank you.
Good morning. Matt St. John, lead for the TMDL unit, and as Kat said, I worked on the Shasta River TMDL. So the process, as you recall, in the listing, is it's a two-step process. You first do an assessment to determine an impairment. That's when a water body is placed on a list, the 303D list, for that specific impairment. When we embarked on the Shasta River Watershed TMDLs, they were listed for dissolved oxygen and temperature. Those were the impairments for which we developed the TMDL under the terms of the consent decree. In completing the analysis, we definitely identified the role that algae and aquatic plants are playing in affecting specifically dissolved oxygen. So algae in that respect was addressed. The blue-green algae issue, which affects both dissolved oxygen through the process of photosynthesis and productivity, was addressed. The issue associated with the potential to release algal toxins was identified in the staff report. It was identified as a potential problem but was not, there was simply not enough data available to warrant doing a TMDL at that time for blue green algae and the associated toxins. We identified it as an issue. It was kind of a red flag. Hey, let's keep an eye on this. Here's how it's affecting dissolved oxygen, but do not warrant developing, you know, the full TMDL for these blue-green algae themselves. As far as pH, there are certainly pH violations in the Shasta River, as well as in Lake Shastina. Again, it was not listed for pH. We identified it as part of the overall problem. The control mechanisms to address dissolved oxygen would also be implemented to control. The same control measures would address pH. So there was no need to also develop TMDL for pH.
That was more for the benefit of the crowd so that they understood the TMDL process a little bit. But I do have a specific question on mercury. I didn't quite understand. Did you say that we have samples of fish from Shastina that had levels of mercury?
DWR does.
DWR does.
Their summary of the data. Again, Matt, you've looked at... They gave us a summary but did not provide us yet with the raw data.
So we don't have any idea of if it was one or two samples out of maybe, I don't know how many?
All we've seen, there was sampling that was done, I think, in 2002. In 2002, we were copied on a brief summary of water quality conditions in the Shasta River watershed. In that, there was two sentences related to this fish tissue sampling that had been done in Lake Shastina, which simply summarized that fish tissue sampling had been conducted, and that some of the levels were exceeded EPA's and OEHA screening levels, and that follow-up with OEHA was necessary. This was not a summary, a memo that was written to us. We were simply provided it. But that's all. We have not seen the data. It's just stating that there were samples. The number of samples is not known.
Okay.
And board members, I realize we have a new procedure here, but what I was trying to indicate earlier, basing it upon the prior record, is we really got the mercury now as opposed to then, and I'm going to call it up at the end of this so no one thinks we're sweeping it underneath the rug, but I believe it's outside the scope of the petition and would be inappropriate for us to consider in the petition phase for that reason.
I have a related question. Mr. St. John, do we know from the DWR sampling if mercury was the only compound or the only screening that they were providing or analyzing for, or by chance maybe was the screening broad and may have included dioxins or other things that we're potentially interested in now?
I don't know that. My understanding is the fish tissue sampling was focused on mercury only, looking at the, you know, methyl mercury. But I can't say that with all certainty.
That just might loop back to what we have involved now, so there may be an existing data set that could potentially have information, but we have access to that.
Turned up a little bit. Just
sorry.
Any other board member questions?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure that the document we have, the updated resolution 0058, is available here in the room in the same form that we have it with the strikeouts.
It is.
And procedural question in terms of, I read through it and the language seems to be points of clarification or better statements in a better way. Are there any legal things, that significant changes that we should prize ourselves as we sit here and look through it?
No, staff met with both parties, and both parties have signed off on this version. We just softened it up a little. Montague was concerned that it not be singled out solely, and staff had agreed to work with other stakeholders in getting this work done to better understand the issue. But nothing's changed legally from the original draft.
And to legal counsel, I have a point of clarification. There's a reference to the 13269 waiver that was adopted as part of the TMDL process. There's a five-year statute of limitation not contained in the materials here on that waiver by law. It's totally unclear to me. Is that from when the regional board approved it, when the state board approved it, when the Office of Administrative Law approved it, or from EPA? And I'm less interested in a quick answer if you don't feel comfortable, but more, we do need to write it out and send a copy to the parties so they have the correct date, and a CC to the board would be helpful too.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have one other item that I would like to address, specifically in the resolution on paragraph 11 and 12. On the findings. In both paragraphs, it is stated, let me start with number 11, the very last sentence, that while the issue has come to the attention of the Regional Water Board and portions of the Klamath River, these conditions could also be present in Lake Shastina. And then here it says, as water within the reservoir is known to contain Anabaena flossaquate, a blue-green algae that produces hepatoxin. That's my first contention. The second one is also the last sentence on number 12, where it says there is some evidence of visible and extensive algal mats in Scum and Dwinell Reservoir. Would it be appropriate for us to say that there is currently, if we don't have data that says so, and should we rephrase that to say has been known rather than is known?
We have data showing Anabaena is present. We have that.
Okay.
And we have observed in the past visible scums on Shastina. Both of those are facts.
Yeah, as part of the TMDL development, we did monitoring in Lake Shastina for algae to understand the algae dynamics and how that was affecting dissolved oxygen conditions. And we sampled and found Anabaena flossaquate. We did not sample for the toxin, anatoxin, but we state that clearly in the staff report that the toxin component of the blue-green algae was not sampled.
I'm wondering if we probably should rephrase it to say that there's a seasonal presence of it, if that would make it...
Sure.
Would this be an appropriate time to...
Well, I think we can raise the issue, then we'll have public testimony, and then we'll come back and craft the resolution, and I know I have some suggestions at that point in time as well. Are there any other... We've red flagged the issues for staff. I'll just red flag for you to think about as well. This is in your first set of changes on page one, item two. I have no problems with the strikeouts. And then, Samantha, I'm trying to draw your attention to this so you can think about it. There's the sentence, this resolution is informational only and does not result in any action taken towards any party. And I disagree with that statement. I think we did take an action in denial based upon lack of evidence. So I think if you just strike that and keep your other strikes, it will be helpful. So consider that while we're opening it up for the public hearing. Any other issues we're flagging for staff or comments by the board? Okay, with that, we'll open it up for comment. And the petitioner is Felice J. Pace. And so... Please step forward, identify yourself, and make your comments.
Good morning again. Felice Pace, representing myself as a landowner in Siskiyou County, citizen of the United States of America. We're going to talk about, I just have a question for the chair about the process. You said we were going to talk about mercury later. Will there be an opportunity to comment on that at that time?
Right. Here's where I am. This process is a little new. And first of all, I think it's a great process to staff that we make our decision and come back with the final text of it. And I think it's a sound process. We're still a little green at it. The difficulty I have with mercury was... when I read your petition, I didn't see that really raised in the prior.
It was not in there.
Right. So we, in my opinion, are not allowed to consider it as part of this.
Right.
At the same time, I didn't want anyone to think we're sweeping mercury under the rug. So procedurally, what I was going to do is have us vote on the resolution. Since it's been raised under this, I will call it up for public comment, and then we'll get some type of resolution on how it will be handled. That will be informal because it's not part of the petition process.
So there will be. I'll really reserve
and
my
And I probably
comments.
Should have ruled it out, but okay. I just feel we're here in Siskiyou County. The issue is a matter of concern, and this is a way to handle it that's faster and allows more input from all the people who might be affected.
Okay, well, I'll address Mercury at that time in a public comment. As part of the TMDL process, your board commissioned the limnology study of Lake Shastina. That limnology study said nothing about Anavena, said nothing about mercury, even though at the time it was completed, DWR had the data. I'm not supposed to talk about mercury. Okay. Had the data, and your staff knew there was Anavena there. So I have some concern looking back, and I think you as board members should as well, of why we have a limnology study that was so narrowly focused. I haven't looked at the scope of work. Maybe the scope of work was narrowly focused. But I know from studying that study that the people who wrote it were in touch with DWR and were looking at DWR data and why they didn't flag other issues in a limnology study commissioned by the North Coast Water Board, other water quality issues, is an open question in my mind. DWR says that I did a public records request to DWR. That's mercury. Let me say this. I've been working with the representatives of the district and with your staff, and I want to say it's been a very, very good process that we have had to date, and I believe we are all on the same page. I think we all recognize that there are water quality problems in Dwinelle Reservoir. And one of the reasons why I did the petition was because if you look carefully at the TMDL Basin Plan Amendment, it's very vague. It says, it basically, in my interpretation, says, we know Shastina has some problems, but we're going to punt them down the road into the future. And the lack of any timelines for addressing the issues was my main concern and one of the main reasons why I did the petition. But the main idea was to get a handle on Anavena, and as I think I told you last time, you may or may not remember, I had been asking the Water Board for about 10 years to look at what had happened to the dioxin-laden sediments that were in Baton Creek at one point documented by North Coast Water Board in Baton Creek and other parties, and then were not there. And my presumption is that there was at least a chance they were washed down into Lake Shastina. So that was the other motivation, was the lack of attention over the course of about a decade to numerous requests, including right to you guys in Crescent City not too long ago, a year or so ago. So I think what we have in the resolution is a timeline to get a handle, to get a monitoring plan, and then based on that monitoring plan to determine whether subsequent actions are needed. And I'm in compliance with that. I would just make one comment about Dr. Joaquim's suggestion about seasonal in there. I don't know that we have done the studies to determine whether anything is seasonal. Being a scientist, I know you want to proceed scientifically. And to proceed scientifically would be to get the information about whether this is a seasonal problem or not. I think, I'm with you. It's presumably a seasonal problem in terms of what we've observed, but we have not done the kind of rigorous look. And that's the whole intent of this, is to get the rigorous look at Lake Shastina and what its problems are. The only question I have about this is whether the monitoring program is required or not. So I would like clarification from staff about whether the monitoring program that's discussed in here is required or not.
I and in discussions with Montague and petitioner, the idea was that the regional board, this Montague wanted to make very clear that this wasn't an order singling it out, even though it's expressed its intent to cooperate with the regional board. So the straight answer is not required. What's required is a report back to this board on what we did and what the results are. And that's not without weight.
Okay, thank you. I'd have nothing else unless there are questions.
Well, I just want to clarify, as amended, and obviously that might change, and your answer might change, but do you agree with resolution number R1-2007-0058 as reworded by staff?
Yes.
Okay. And I do want to thank you for working with staff on it.
Thank you.
Did you work with the district as well?
I did.
Well, then, I appreciate that as well. Is there a representative from the district in the audience? Yes, I see now Robert Donlin. You were the very last, if I couldn't find you.
Good morning, Chairman. Members of the board, my name is Robert Donlin. I'm with the law firm of Ellison, Schneider & Harris in Sacramento. The Water Conservation District worked with staff and petitioner on this, and we do not have any comments at this time, but we'd like to reserve the right to offer comments at the end of the public comment period. And in the event that the resolution changes from the draft that was submitted to you this morning.
Okay, and I want to thank you for working with staff and with the petitioner on this resolution.
Thank you.
Arnie Holtgren, Roseburg Forest Products, proposed resolution in order.
My name is Arnie Holtgren. I'm the California Land and Timber Manager for Roseburg Forest Products in Weed, California. I have a letter to you in response to this particular issue, and I'd like to give it to the clerk.
Okay, if you could give that to the Gene Lockett clerk.
I'm sorry.
He wants me to speak closer to the microphone. Sorry. Thanks a lot for the opportunity to speak, and I sure appreciate you're making the long drive instead of me today. The order before you today appears to be hastily constructed when closely examined upon receipt last week. We're a little taken aback by the reworded resolution that I received today. However, I will attempt to muddle through. Roseburg notes that in this comment, there is reasonable doubt surrounding the presence of contamination in the portion of Bohan Creek serving Gwinnell Reservoir, and thus request that the board deny or at the very least stay the order before you today. And this order that I refer to appears to be part of the petition. We have historically enjoyed a cooperative and compliant posture with the North Coast Board staff, and we can only hope that that will continue with board oversight. In 1986, the U.S. EPA took lead agency status from the state under the federal Superfund law. After a decade of cleanup, the U.S. EPA has stabilized that site and documented that no further discharges of contamination endanger the health of our community. In particular, there are some items on the order that is attached to this resolution that I am concerned about. And initially, it's the attachment. First of all, the part that really kind of chafes us is that Roseburg is prominently named and prominently referred to, when in reality, we only bear a small fraction of that site responsibility. 4% to be exact. The site has long been referred to as the J.H. Baxter Superfund site since at least 1982. Roseburg acquired the adjacent veneer mill in 1981 from International Paper and has never engaged in wood-preserving treatment in any form. As parties to the weed remediation group, again, we represent a 4% responsibility. Another possible issue that clouds the order is the remedial construction activities that have been performed under the USA EPA Superfund law to stabilize the contamination. Those efforts are complete at this time. In addition, a summary of historic fish tissue sampling results have been provided during recent discussions with board staff. And the US EPA, in their report, says that in 1993, and I quote, under the direction of EPA, Fish and Game, Regional Water Quality Control Board, Bohan Creek was analyzed for contamination in water and sediments and health impacts on fish and insects. No significant impacts were observed. Further, in April 1987, additional sampling of surface water and creek sediments was performed. Results indicate that Bohan Creek is not impacted by site-related constituents adjacent to and immediately downstream from the site. This is from the EPA. Finally, under finding 17, which has not been reworded in today's resolution, we believe that there is substantial evidence to indicate that previous sampling has failed to confirm contamination exists beyond background levels. Further, the US EPA report for this has extensively remediated the site so that, and I quote again from the EPA, that Bohan Creek is not impacted by site-related constituents adjacent to and immediately downstream from the site. And so in conclusion, I would hope that you would reconsider the issuance of this order. It's fairly heavy-handed. It requires a study plan, reporting under penalty of perjury. We would very much prefer to continue working with staff in a collaborative fashion to allay their concerns. And I'm available for any questions if you have it.
Staff response?
Okay, I think we're confusing two items here on the last comment. The resolution itself, there's no mention of Roseburg. It talks about the J.H. Baxter responsible parties, for which Roseburg is one. So what I recommend is that we distinguish if we're talking about, we're going to have further discussions about that 13267 order, what's in it, but that would not be appropriate for consideration here today. Especially in light of the fact that staff already sent it. We can talk about whether you want to modify the language in the staff shall send a letter, but the letter already got sent, so I do think that's a different discussion to have.
A little bit along those lines, one aspect of this that troubles me is the petition really was not against Roseburg or Baxter in the first place, and so it's a bit unusual then to have an order on a petition for another party against a different party. And I almost wonder whether there is a wisdom to taking those provisions out, not sweeping them under the rug, that we take it up and give a direction to staff. And perhaps that would be to work with the applicant. But I feel a little uneasy that when we have a petition naming one party, that the order comes back with additional parties.
I don't think staff would object to removing this item. It would make it consistent with the finding that it's informational only, and separate this issue out and pull it back, have another conversation, and go from there.
Okay. Any other board member comments or questions?
Do we have the text of that 13267 order? That was not included in our packet.
I have a copy if you'd like one.
You have one?
We have copies.
Just have to have.
You won't mind all the highlighting?
That's why she had his room. She wouldn't have coffees.
Do we have the ability to make some coffees here?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Well, maybe I should.
I'm trying to get her attention. Yeah. I can't.
What I just heard the attorney say would take the item out. Are we talking about item five?
I think item five, and perhaps I can work on some language that's different from the direction to staff to issue the order, and work on some language that would direct staff to continue conversations with the responsible parties on that site.
And is that keeping with what you would like to see?
Yes, sir, it is. I would very much like to just continue working collaboratively with staff and avoid the stigma of an order.
To the executive director.
And perhaps this was a miscommunication. The reason why I signed the order was I understood that the responsible parties did not wish to work with us collaboratively any longer on this. So that was the reason the order went out. So if there's a misunderstanding there and you still want to work on this with us, we have lots of room to talk.
Great. I very much appreciate that. There's been a lot going back and forth in the past 6 days, so I think we can find room to work together.
And while we're talking about misunderstandings, I had some hesitancy in not ruling it out in the first place, but had heard that this was acceptable to you folks or probably would not have been allowed in the resolution in the first place. So I think if we'll call this up just to make sure everybody's settled when we're done with the resolution, but I think we need to amend you out since you were not the original party petitioning against.
I appreciate that. My apologies for misunderstanding the system. I thought the order was attached to the resolution.
We've done our fair share of confusing the system all by ourselves.
Thank you.
Carol Kopp Favero, Lake Shasta CSD.
Good morning. My name is Carol Kopp Favero. I'd like to speak on behalf of my husband, Brian Favero, who was here before you in April in Santa Rosa. You may recall his testimony at that time because he showed you a very old picture from the lake. He asked that I read his comments on behalf of him because he is actually on an overseas trip. So he's very regretful that he is not here today to follow up on this. But he has asked, like I said, for me to read his comments. And as an elected official in Lake Justina, as well as a homeowner's board director for the past 3 years, I feel that I can speak to you on this issue and as well as provide his comments. He personally believes that staff is asking the board to bark up the wrong tree when it comes to the whole issue of blue-green algae in Siskiyou County and especially in Dwinnell Reservoir. No animals and no people are currently sick or dying of algal ingestion. Dr. Roberts of Alpine Veterinary and Dr. Larry Friedman of the American Veterinary in Wairika will attest to not treating one case of toxic algal poisoning in animals. My older brother, he puts better looking older brother, Dom and his wife Joan were practicing pharmacists in Wairika for almost 40 years, and they have never received one prescription request for any type of algal poisoning in those years. They have never heard of any negative human interaction with our waters in this county, let alone sickness or death. Algae is the basis of the aquatic food chain. It is the Earth's oldest living group of plants, and it isn't going away anytime soon. It grows anywhere and everywhere on our planet, including your uncovered fishing boat if you don't drain it after a rainstorm. Some of the procedures spelled out in the agenda and the petition process now in progress is continued evidence in man's total misguided egocentric attempt to control Mother Nature. There must be better things and bigger things for the Water Quality Board than their time spent with algae. I, Brian Favreau, stand opposed to the PACE petition regarding Dwinnell Reservoir and Dwinnell Dam for all the reasons stated before you on April 26th in Santa Rosa. I believe BGA is the already agreed upon Shasta River TMDL is wrong, or including it. To the best of my knowledge, there is no precedence for such an inclusion. And BGA is not on the Klamath Basin 303D list of water system impairment candidates. Listing it here on the Shasta River Montague Irrigation Canal is as ludicrous as listing Woolly Creek and the Salmon River impaired for temperature. The autonomy of Sissy County Public Health to identify, post, sample, and potentially close bodies of water in Sissy County should not be usurped. What ace up the sleeve is the water board looking for to even contemplate this wrestling away established authority from the county? What possible motivation could be behind taking on even more work than you already have? Who would benefit from your having this control instead of the people who live here? Anything the water board does to propagate bogus BGA scares of any kind hurts the already fragile economy of Siskiyou County. Although your interest and attention to the BGA issues alleged is noted and acknowledged, it is misguided. He feels very misguided. Please rethink all of the BGA pH testing issues in the proposed resolution and act in a manner that is beneficial to Siskiyou County. I'd like to state that my husband has been at numerous meetings with various stakeholders as well as the agencies involved in this issue since your meeting in Santa Rosa. I've rarely seen him on account of it. He's enlightened me on various issues. People here today were informed mainly through our different agencies in Lake Shasina and are very concerned about any postings or any detrimental effects to the Dornell Reservoir. We ourselves have lived on the lake for 6 years, have never seen any problems, have our dog swims in the lake almost daily. I just have to really wonder about the real harmful effects of blue-green algae. And as Dr. Joaquin mentioned, the seasonalness of the lake, it is not seasonal. It's daily changes to the lake that would change the presence of algae. Our lake, as you know, is in a real wind tunnel. So any wind or any changes in the temperature and the weather, which is pretty common, like I said, on a day-to-day basis, changes the complexion of the lake. And I sit witness to it from our house because, like I said, we're in a very much a nice position to review the lake daily. So again, I really urge you not to include this on the TMDL, and I ask that you let the Siskiyou County Health Department be the lead agency, and that any biological studies and any monetary liabilities for the dioxins, that those be funded by the J.H. Baxter Superfund. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Any board member questions? Any staff comments?
I know there are going to be a number of public speakers, so I just wanted to clarify what staff is recommending and what we are not. What the basic thrust of the staff recommendation is, we have evidence that shows that Anavina is there. The health department asked Montague to monitor for Anavina, just to make sure. And so I think with Shastina, what we're saying is we have some reason that we should look, but that's where we are. We have reason to look because it's a better part of prudence and wisdom to know. But it is at that prudence level as opposed to we're a long way from, you know, affirming there is a problem or not. And if there were a problem, it would still be a huge long process to get to whether or not it rose to the level of posting. So we're a long way from there, and I just want people to understand that as they come up.
Yeah, and I do agree with the newest revised resolution that was proposed. I think that's an extremely good improvement. I also want to say that on behalf of, like I said, our homeowners, we're taking proactive steps to help staff. I've met with staff, and we want to make sure that we continue to stay involved so that these continued studies that are done can be channeled through us and we can have a say in the matter, be involved in that. And so misinformation doesn't get out to the public. I can tell you just walking door to door, trying to get people to come to the meeting, people were concerned that we were talking about their drinking water. So confusion happens very easily, and it's important that we get correct information out there and not scare people. Thank you.
And just to further clarify, the basic resolution denies the petition based upon lack of evidence, is the big picture. And there are certain follow-up steps to verify one way or another what's happening on the ground. Tom Wetter.
Good morning. My name is Tom Wetter. I'm a resident out of Lake Shastina. I've spoken to you gentlemen before, and Ms. Heidi. Anyhow, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in Lake Shastina today and a little bit about the petition and the resolution. First, it does in the resolution say that BGA is an issue in Lake Shastina. And while there is certainly evidence that there's some seasonal, as Dr. Joaquim said, actually, according to the Public Works Director in the city of Montague, on average, he sees Anabina once a year in the drinking water sampling, which is, I believe, where the Anabina was first detected. So it isn't a huge issue, but I really believe that what we need to have happen here is that we need a public health database to collect data on what types of health issues actually occur as a result of algae. Now, right now, we don't have that kind of information. And we would use that we use data all the time to determine water quality. So why don't we have a database that actually identifies health issues and health risks associated with any kind of algae? That's one suggestion. The second issue that I want to talk to you about is the resolution. Granted, there was a lot of work that went into this resolution. It's obvious that from the rewording that there was a lot of thought that went into it. However, it wasn't available to the community until about 6 o'clock last night, and then it might have been available to 5 or 6 people. So I really believe that there needs to be some time here to review the changes to this resolution. Certainly, we got the first copy on the 12th, but only having one evening to review the resolution really doesn't give us enough time to talk about it and to understand what changes have been made. On another subject, the 303D listing. If impairments are based on being listed in the 303 documents, then pH and BGA shouldn't be issues in Lake Shastina. They weren't part of the 303D listing for the Shasta River or the Shasta River watershed. So we shouldn't really be having to address those unless they're being added to the 303D list. They need to go through that process before they're going to be added to the issues that we need to resolve. And last, we're talking about funding. We've had meetings out at Lake Shastina, and we've invited a bunch of stakeholders and gotten them together. Your staff has been very helpful in helping facilitate that. But the real issue becomes being able to monitor and test. We're trying to ascertain if there's problems in the watershed and if there are problems in Lake Shastina. For instance, if you found mercury, did you find it in trout or did you find it in bass? If you found it in trout, are they hatchery trout? Because most of the trout in Lake Shastina are from the hatchery. So are we bringing the mercury in from the hatchery, or is mercury actually existing in Lake Shastina? So the issue becomes, how do you pay for monitoring? It's the part that's not funded. As far as I know, there aren't grants available to fund monitoring. So the real problem with the process is really defining what are the problems. We can fix the problems. Funding seems to be available to fix problems once we identify them. But we really need the funding to define and identify the problems. We need the funding for monitoring programs. And I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how you get to deal with that, but somebody has to deal with that. So that's all I have to share with you today. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Any board questions, staff comments, or questions? Thank you. Ken Hauser. And then on board behind Ken Hauser, Rex Houghton.
Good morning. My name is Ken Hauser. I'm a resident at Lake Chestina, 14813 Ash Court. I've lived out in Lake Chestina. I bought the home in November of 00, and we've lived out there since, having moved up from the Central Valley. And I wanted to address really the many uses of Lake Chestina and the water that goes out of there. Of course, there's a long list of uses, and you guys would know those a lot better than I do. But the economic impact and the social impact of the discussion is perhaps been really wild, and it wasn't really until your clarification, Chairman, a couple minutes ago, that we, perhaps everybody in the room, understood that the petition has been denied. But the fact is, you know, as Jamie Lee said earlier, there's 2,700 residents out there. There is a huge economic impact of the water that is stored in Donnell or Lake Chestina, the farming, the ranching that goes on, and all of the support areas. You know, I own a store now in Mount Shasta. It would be tremendously impacted by any discussion that goes on with the reservoirs here in this county and the water system in this county. Naturally, none of us want to have bad water. Nobody that lives out there wants to have my grandchildren, for example, who are swimming in Lake Chestina in recent weeks. My dog goes down there on a walk every day. Nobody has ever been affected by this. And my understanding is that there's over 700 kinds of blue-green algae, and only one or two that can possibly make, you know, the kind of disaster consequences on health that we have. And I could be wrong, because that's, you know, just my understanding on that. But it's that kind of a thing. Nonetheless, obviously the citizens out of Lake Chestina and the county in general are very concerned, as you can see by the number of people that are here today. We really want to know what the main ambition is as far as, you know, the water quality. Is it the ambition of a few to actually take the dams out, whether it be Copco or Iron Gate or Chestina, because they have their own environmental political agenda? We don't know, but there's a huge impact to what happens in our lives, we support the county health department being the lead agency in this, and, you know, as far as being able to post and do that. But we also want it, you know, as was previously stated, we would like to have these things screened, because we, as residents, we want to make sure that the water is good for ourselves as well. So I just wanted to make sure that I spoke up today as a citizen, and let you know how concerned we are with what's going on here and on the long-term impact as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any board member questions, staff comments or questions? Thank you.
Rex Houghton, and then on deck behind him is Brian Favero.
Why don't you go to the microphone, identify yourself, and then...
I'm Rex Houghton. I just broke the other microphone. I'm at the Montague Water Conservation District, and I'd like to talk after our presentation. I filled out the wrong paperwork, evidently.
Okay, do you want to talk now or after the other?
Afterwards.
Okay.
I'll recall Rex Houghton. Is Rex Houghton here?
That was Rex
Houghton. Oh, I'm sorry. I understand now, Rex. Brian Favero. Okay. Regina Chichazola. I can't hear you.
Mine is for the next agenda.
Okay. Dennis J. Dedeling.
I'll try not to break the microphone. My name is Denny Dedeling. I reside at 6438 Rodriguez Place, Lake Shastina. To give you an idea how concerned I am about this matter, I drove down this morning from Medford, where I'm currently in radiology treatment, and I pardon some of my address to the board because there are some words that I'm finding not coming out very well. I know your body is primarily a political body of appointments. As a professional engineer, I've worked with a number of the boards throughout the state in the field of water over the last 40 years. For the last 20 years, I've had a number of experiences with the North Coast when I lived over in Bodega Bay. I must say that most of those experiences were not very positive, primarily due to the lack of adequate staff and qualified staff. The first comment that became apparent at this meeting is when the young lady introduced three attorneys. Since you have the backup of the AG's office, it seems to me that a group of this nature needs no more than one attorney on staff. You could replace that with probably three professional civil engineers that have their act together in the water field. In following the last speaker, he stole some of my thunder, and that was relating to the economics of Siskiyou County. A few years back, a little before my time, political decisions were made that wiped out the logging industry in this county. Cost a lot of jobs, cost a lot of families. In this case, Lake Shastina provides a full range of recreational activities, and it provides water supply to a small municipality, and it supplies a lot of irrigation water to a lot of ranchers in this area. The alternative to that is for the ranchers to go out and drill a whole slug of wells, further drawing down the water supply beneath the Earth's surface at a huge cost. In most cases, they would find it prohibitive and wouldn't do so. Water is a valuable resource that we're losing across the state. Every winter, we let it fly out to the ocean. And that's a major loss. If we have another drought year this year, it'll be worse than it was 25 years ago in the mid-70s when we had three bad years in a row in which they had to build a pipeline across the Golden Gate Bridge or the Richmond-Santa Rafael Bridge, I guess, to serve Marin County. Farmers were shut off from their irrigation supplies, and it was provided to the residential communities. My guess is at the end of next year, if we have 2 years in a row, we are going to have a range war of the agricultural interests throughout the north, the Sacramento Valley, the Central Valley, all the way down to LA, fighting the transportation of the water over to San Francisco and Los Angeles. and it will not be pretty, I'm afraid. And the costs are huge. Instead of talking about things, how can we cut out dams? We probably need a lot more so that we can, and they can be off-river, but we need places to supply water in this state. So instead of working on this very serious problem called algae, of which 2 years ago when my wife and I took a 20,000-mile trip across the United States and Canada, visiting more than 100 freshwater lakes, in which I probably swam in 80 of them and boated in the other 20, and at numerous locations saw algae throughout the area. But it didn't discourage the local residents, etc., from recreating. And probably the same results as were spoken by Ms. Kopp earlier, that the health industry here in Siskiyou County has not had a single case reported relating to same. And I think to kind of spend your efforts to penalize one of the smallest communities in the state with significant additional work is typical of government. You can't proceed against the big boys, but you sure can wipe out the little guys. And like happened over in the logging industry in Eureka a few years back. I remember being there when President Clinton said, we will make, this was when they set up the Redwood Park, we will take all the loggers and they will become computer operators for the tourism industry. It doesn't happen. It won't happen. And it's the same thing holds true with the ranchers in Siskiyou County. You won't make them into something else where their entire life and family generations have resided in this area, in this field of endeavor. So I would like your board to really give some thought to what you're currently doing and how you're letting the staff lead your efforts instead of you leading the staff. Thank you.
Any board questions? Any staff comments? Okay, I got one additional speaker, and then I have reservations by Robert Dolan. We have a reservation by Rex Houghton, and we would, of course, call on Petitioner Felice Pace. So with that, the last public testimony will be Stan Sears on behalf of the Montague Water District, and the topic of testimony is the resolution.
I won't be here this afternoon, so I want to speak now. I'll be on your tour tomorrow, though. I'm a lifelong resident of Shasta Valley. I've made my entire living the whole time I've been here ranching. I spent 18 years on the Shasta Valley RCD. I'm a director on the Montague Water District. I'm chairman of SOSS in Siskiyou County, and I've been going to meetings about twice a week for the last couple of years till I've got very little black hair left. Something that never amazes me when I work with bureaucrats is how little business sense they really have. The man that last spoke here said so much wisdom, it amazed me. If you take people, a lot of these staff people, not only this staff, but staff people in general, and put them out and let them run a hot dog stand or drive a truck and pay the bills and worry about where the next payment is going to be and what next regulations are going to cause them some red tape, they might look at things a little differently. Our water district has about a $200,000 budget with 3.5 employees. We just hired this good attorney that came up to represent us because of the stuff that was in this resolution by the staff that caused us a lot of gray hair. that we got changed in a way that we think we can live with it after we spent $6,000 or $7,000. The staff doesn't look at things, what would work, what's practical, what can these people do? They just want to drop the hammer. And so I'm glad we've come to a resolution I think that we can live with, but I sure wish the staff would look at things in a more practical, real-world way, which I hope they can become capable of. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'm going to bring it back to the board, but the people who are making reservations for comments, Lee J. Pace, Rex Houghton, and Robert Dolan, be ready to speak or come up. With that, I'll bring this back to the board for board action.
Mr. Chair, I guess I would ask Ms. Olson her position on your desire to strike the only thing left in blue on item number 2. Resolution is informational only, does not take any action toward any party.
I propose that we keep the sentence and add on the end of the sentence, except for the denial of the petition.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Is that
acceptable? Yes.
I would also ask Dr. Joaquim had a concern about item number 12. Can we come to some understanding on that?
I believe that would be all items 11 and 12. If we could just make it reflect that there are seasonal variations, unless we can establish that there's algae that grows in sub-freezing conditions.
Regarding number 12, staff proposes to amend the last sentence of that paragraph. So it would read, while the issue has come to the attention of the Regional Water Board in portions of the Klamath River, these conditions could also be present in Lake Shastina. As it is known that water within the reservoir contained Anamina Fluoraquae when sampled in July 2004. New sentence, Anamina is a blue-green algae known to produce hepatoxin. I don't know if I read that well, but I mean, it just kind of further clarifies where that statement and evidence to support it, and it, you know, just narrows it down a bit. Right. Then regarding number 12, the very last sentence, we could add anecdotal, so it would then read, there is some anecdotal evidence of visible and extensive algal mats and scum in Duanel Reservoir.
That would be fine. Thank you.
So we would have two changes?
Well, to the maker of the motion, we had discussed taking number 5 out, J.H. Baxter Superfund site, and references to Roseburg.
I think we have a proposed change to that as opposed to completely removing it.
Okay, can you please state that for our help?
Staff shall continue to work with responsible parties for the J.H. Baxter Superfund site to resolve issues related to the collection of fish tissue samples from Lake Shastina, and then the rest would be the same.
Just one very quick question, then it'll really be a board item. I restate my concerns. They were not the party petition against, and I think we could adopt this in a separate motion right after this as maybe being procedurally cleaner.
They were actually, it was raised in the petition, And so it wouldn't be inappropriate. Moreover, the petition contains the finding that it doesn't result in an action taken toward any party. So this change would make it consistent with that finding, but also address the issue that was raised in the petition.
This petition requests the California Regional Water Quality Control Board order the Montague Irrigation District operator of Duvernell Reservoir. I don't.
In section B, page 4 of the petition, second paragraph, is where Roseburg is identified. Roseburg Baxter Superfund site.
Yes, I understand, but they were never named. I just think it's sloppy. It'll be a board matter if you guys don't.
We can take it out, and we'll have to take out then the introduction of that item in the whereas section.
Item 17. Last sentence of item 17.
I think it would be 16 and 17. It just introduces a dioxin, so we're basically removing the response to the dioxin component of this petition.
Well, what I want to do is call it on the outside of our petition, because the petition was against Montague. We deny that. I think that's clear. There were issues raised in the petition. We'll take those up so no one thinks anything swept underneath the rug. But I just think it's bad form to have a petition against one party and then have the decision against another unnamed party. Yes.
H.A. Pace, petitioner. I just want to point out to the chair that other responsible parties, Roseburg is not named in this and in this draft. And there are other sections where other responsible parties are named. Okay? And it's actually other responsible parties are referred to in the TMDL. And if you do that, if you do this, you know, then you need to just leave it all with Montague Water Conservation District and not get any other collaborators in on this and let the whole weight of doing the monitoring fall on them because they were under your reasoning. And if you do that with Baxter, if you take Baxter out of here, I'm going to go to the state.
Okay. Well, that's very fine. And what I'm proposing, though, is we take Baxter up after we take the petition up.
And I'm saying that okay, that is not acceptable to the petitioner.
Again, the petition doesn't result in any action for any party. And Felice is right that it deals with other responsible parties identified in a TMDL, and it's meant to be a collaborative sort of resolution. I do think it's appropriate. It was right to say we're not going to deal with mercury. Mercury was not raised in the petition. Dioxin is specifically raised in the petition. This was staff's response. So it is appropriate, but we can certainly, but we would need 5 or 10 minutes to try to rework this petition so that would make sense if you want to deal with that in a different
way. I don't know how the board will feel on it, so we'll take it back. Okay.
I think we'd be interested in seeing clarification if you want 5 minutes work. So.
And I would also like, when we do take a break, I would like to include language that shows that the EPA did announce closure of the site, that it had been remediated, so that that's also reflected in the resolution. The petition does address the site.
Any other board comments? Then why don't we adjourn for 5 minutes, allow staff to come up with alternative language.
Denial of the petition, so rather than call it a policy statement, staff is recommending we just put denial of the petition on the header. Regarding your comments, Chairman, on number two, we've added that this resolution is informational only and does not result in any action taken toward any party except for the denial of the petition. Regarding Board Member Joaquin's comments clarifying the findings in 11 and 12, don't ask me to pronounce Anabina Flozakwe again.
You did good.
I went through the sentence once, but there it is. And then we've added anecdotal evidence to finding 12. And in finding 11, it's clarifying that that statement is based on samples taken in July 2004. Finally, regarding the changes for the J.H. Baxter Superfund site, we have two proposed changes. I'll start in the resolve section because the finding above it just is modified to make consistent with what you've resolved here, and it is directing staff to continue to work with responsible parties for the J.H. Baxter Superfund site to resolve issues related to the collection of fish tissue samples from Lake Chestina for analysis of chlorinated dibenzo-p-dioxin and dibenzo-furans. And then the finding above is just consistent with that direction.
You would need to speak up to the microphone if you're going to make comments.
There was a comment from the audience asking a clarification where the fish samples came from. I think this is a direction to get fish tissue samples.
Well, I think it's a direction to continue to work with the parties.
Right. Yeah. And so there it's not discussing any fish samples that we have currently.
I think that the concern, Ms. Olson, is that some of the fish samples could come from fish that were planted in Lake Chestina that may have come from a hatchery that may have had been exposed to some toxins. If that's what the audience members, that's what I understand, audience members.
And that would be screened out in a QA procedure. That's a valid concern, and we won't look at that.
And with the clarification, this is not an order, this is not a request for action, this is continued collaborative work.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Unless there's any further comment, I would like to make a motion to approve this resolution to deny the petition as amended. No second.
Is there any further board discussion or comment? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. All those abstained. The motion carries.
I think
next matter for our consideration is a petition